this precious opportunity that God's given us to meet together. And I just got a notice about this meeting going live stream, Brother James, from my system. That's the reason there's a little bit of a delay. Very thankful for this precious opportunity to meet together with God's people in this capacity. Very thankful for the prayer that has been offered by our precious brother in Christ. We would ask that each one of you would pray for us during this time, that we would labor to speak from the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, I trust that you do. Please turn with me to the Song of Solomon, Solomon's Song, chapter 3 and verse 9. The Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 9 reads, King Solomon made himself a chariot of wood of Lebanon. Let's read that one more time. I missed the one word. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. If the Lord be our helper this evening, I'd like for us to consider the chariot of Solomon and the application this has for us as children of God here in the New Testament church. You know, when we read through the eight chapters of the Song of Solomon, it's easy to see that it's a love story. It's a love story about a man and a woman. And when you read through it, you can read the language that they have for one another. I had a man give me an illustration to help me understand better the Song of Solomon many years ago. And he said, when you read through the Song of Solomon, he said, consider this love story like this. He said, there was this little girl, and this little girl was a little farm girl. She didn't have much. She was very poor. Worked very diligently in her family's farm. Her skin was very darkened from the sun. Her hands was leathered from the efforts there in the vineyard. Her feet, I'm sure, was calloused from the walking that she did back and forth in the fields. One day she was out in the vineyard and she was working, and she looked up and here come a man out in the vineyard. He was very polished, very handsome, just, you know, not a hair out of place. And she thought, I wonder what he's doing here. And she found it quite amazing that he would stop and talk with her. And he began to talk with her, and she talked with him, and they talked long enough, they fell in love with one another. She loved him. She thought he's the most handsome man she had laid her eyes upon, and he loved her. He thought she was the most beautiful girl he had ever saw. One day, this little girl was walking from the vineyard, and she looked up, and here comes the king's chariot. And she looked in that chariot and saw the one that she fell in love with in the vineyard is the king of Israel. Her heart was just smote. She was humbled just in her mind to think, how could he, the king of Israel, that has the means, that has the riches, that has the looks to have any woman, he loves me. Why would he love me? I am black. I'm darkened by the sun. I'm not this beautiful woman that would be fitting to be in the king's house. But yet over and over in this book, he tells her how beautiful she is and how much he loves her and how he cannot live his life without her being by his side. You know, when I think about that illustration, I'm reminded of what the Bible teaches us about us and the true King of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. The Bible teaches us that we're nothing and less than nothing. And he is the King of the universe that has all things, all the riches is his, all the gold of Ophir, all the cattle of 1,000 hills. And sometimes in my meditation, I wonder, why would he love me? And I've never been able to answer that question other than it's just his sovereign will to do so. Here in this book we find in our Bible, this these eight chapters, in the midst of it, in chapter 3 and verse 9, we read of Solomon who made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. You know, when I think about this chariot of Solomon, before we can make application of this to us and our lives and us and our spiritual walk, us and our fellowship with the Lord, I think it would be important for us to consider what was the purpose of this chariot for Solomon. You know, this chariot that Solomon made for himself of the wood of Lebanon, he did not make this that he would become the king of Israel. He did not make this chariot that he would love his people, Israel. He did not make this chariot that his people would love him, in a sense. But this chariot was made. He made this chariot for himself as a carrier, as a vehicle, if you'd please, to take him throughout Israel, that his people, Israel, would be able to see him, view him, and know more about him as their king. You know, when I consider that, and I consider the Lord Jesus Christ and us, his people, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need anything that his children would love him. The Lord Jesus Christ has put his love in us, and we love him because he first loved us. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need anything that he'd be the king of the universe. He is the king of the universe. He is the I am, the one who has always been and always will be the great God, the great rock that's a shadow in this weary land. But the Lord, as Solomon, made himself a chariot that his people would be able to view him as their king, to know more about him as their king. The Lord Jesus Christ himself has made something for himself that his people that love him, that he loves, would know more about him as their king. This vehicle is none other than the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord made that himself, that he would be carried, not that he'd need to be carried in an eternal salvation context, no. That he would be carried and the mind of his children would be able to comprehend and understand more about him as their king. You know, the gospel being preached never made one child of God. Mm-mm. The gospel being preached never put God in the heart of any covenant child of God. God does that directly himself. But dear brothers and sisters, how precious it is to have this gospel that Jesus Christ made for himself, that's preached by men, that the minds of the children of God may know more and be able to comprehend more about the Lord that's already in their heart. Do you recall in Acts chapter 8, when there was an Ethiopian eunuch that was reading the Bible from Isaiah chapter 53, and he'd been to Jerusalem to worship and was returning? And it was Philip that was led of the Holy Spirit to join himself with his chariot. The Ethiopian eunuch had a chariot, but Philip had a better chariot, and it was the chariot of the gospel. And as the Ethiopian eunuch read and Philip joined himself with his chariot, he said, "Of whom does the prophet write?" And Philip began at that scripture and taught him Jesus Christ. Why? Because he asked the Ethiopian eunuch, "Understandest what thou readest?" The Ethiopian eunuch was already a born-again child of God. He had been to Jerusalem to worship, was returning thither. He was seeking the Lord in his word. Philip said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And here Philip, with the chariot of the gospel, introduces this born-again child of God's mind to the Lord that loved him, that he loved in his heart. The chariot of Solomon reminds me of this gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you think about that chariot of Solomon, that chariot of Solomon was it was nothing to be ashamed of. I'm sure it was beautiful and it was great just to gaze upon. Have you ever thought about just how beautiful that chariot was? If you want to think about how beautiful and how grand that chariot was, go back in 1 Kings chapter 7 and read about Solomon's house that he had the means to build. It was 13 years in building. It was built with the choicest timber. It was built with costly stones. It was built with a beautiful porch that we can even read of in John chapter 10. His house and all that he had in his wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 10, there was a woman, the Queen of Sheba, that came and she heard all Solomon's wisdom and saw all of his riches. You know, I'm amazed that she came with a great train, but she learned that Solomon was greater than her. She came with hard questions, but she learned when she got there, her hard questions were nothing but kindergarten level for this man that was blessed with God's wisdom. But when she got there, she said she had heard of this, but the half was never told to her. Now, if a man had that ability and that means to build that type of house, to have those types of riches, I'm convinced that this chariot was beautiful and wonderful and nothing to scoff at. I'm sure it was a chariot that there's nothing about it to be ashamed of. I know you've heard me talk about some of the vehicles that I've had in times past. My third vehicle that I had was actually a Camaro Z28 50HO. It was a 1986, and I liked the little car. My son is about to turn 16, and he told me, he said, Daddy, I'd like to have a Camaro. And I said, it's not happening, son. He said, why isn't it happening, son? He said, why isn't it happening, Dad? He said, didn't you have a Camaro? I said, yeah, I had one. That's the reason it's not happening for you, because I had one. That Camaro was not my first vehicle. My first vehicle was actually a 1977 Plymouth Arrow. And somebody leaked some gas around where you put the gas in, had a big rusty spot on the side of it, and you know, you might say, well, was it black? Was it red? Was it white? No, it was canary yellow. That was my first car. Yellow 1977 Plymouth Arrow. So here I was, you know, 17-year-old boy, you know, 18. On the weekend, you're going to go cruising. I had a friend of mine, you know, we were going to go to town, do some cruising, riding around. And he had a lot nicer car than me. And when it come time for us to leave, I said, let's drive your car. And the reason is, you know, I wasn't so excited about going around town with my little 1977 Plymouth era. Maybe a little bit of shame possible. When you think about this chariot of Solomon's, it was nothing to be ashamed of. When I think about that and I think about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a 1977 Plymouth era. It can be compared to Solomon's chariot. No, it's better than the 1986 Z28 50HO. It's the best. The Lord Jesus Christ did not give us, and he does not have anything less than the best that his children would know in their minds more about him. You know, when people try to add to the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, you know, we need more than the gospel in the church, we need more than the gospel that the children of God may know in their minds more about the Lord. What they're saying is they're ashamed of the gospel. But you know, the gospel we have, the truth that we have, is nothing to be ashamed of. Why? It is the chariot of Solomon, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is grand, it is beautiful, and it does what nothing else in this world can do. It will comfort, give peace, it will give direction, instruction, and encouragement to the dear children of God that are born again by his grace. Now think about that chariot of Solomon. The Bible says he made it himself. You know, the gospel is not contrived in men's mind. You know, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not something some men got in the corner and just talked about and said, hey, we've got some ideas here. Let's use this that people would know more about the Lord. No, the gospel did not originate with man. The gospel came from the Lord himself. Do you remember Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11? The apostle Paul said, I certify you, brethren, the gospel which is preached to me is not after man. What is he saying? This that I'm preaching, I didn't get it from man. Neither was I taught it, but it came from the Lord. The Lord himself made the gospel, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, when I think about this chariot of Solomon and its purpose in displaying him and showing him to the people of Israel, that they would know more about him, that they'd be able to see him in his riches. You know, I think about some men in Israel that could get themselves in some difficult spots. You know, people during that time could get themselves in debt, even to the degree they would become servants to the debt. I mean, you've read in the Old Testament how individuals could get themselves in debt to the degree that they'd become even servants to the debt. I'm sure there were some men that would walk along the roads of Israel, and they'd have their head hung low because the weight of their debt would be on their shoulders. And they'd see Solomon maybe coming in that chariot. And they'd see Solomon in his greatness and his riches and his power and ability. And I'm sure they thought, if it would be that man's will, the king of Israel, he could clear me of all of my debt. You know, I think about the children of God that are in this world, the born again children of God that feel the weight and the debt of their sin. You know, for a person to feel the weight and debt of sin, they first must be born again. The Bible said the wicked are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued as other men. For an individual to feel the weight and the debt of sin, they first must be born again. And them feeling the weight and debt of it is evidence that God is in their heart, their heaven bought and heaven bound, and as the old preacher South George would say, they're hell proof. They're going to heaven when they die. And that child of God that feels that debt, how precious is it to see the Lord in the gospel, in his riches, and understanding that he and his precious blood is able, was able, did pay for all of their debt that they owe. We sing the hymn, Show Pity, Lord, My Crimes Are Great, But Don't Surpass the Power and Glory of Thy Grace. Great God, Thy nature hath no bound, then may Thy pardoning love be found. Acts chapter 9, we find a man, his name is Saul of Tarsus. This man, Saul of Tarsus, was struck down on that road to Damascus. This man, who in his every effort had shown himself to be an enemy of the Lord manifest his power that day and showed that he was able to conquer the sinner. When he appeared that day to Saul of Tarsus, when he came that day, Saul of Tarsus, for the first time, felt the weight of his sin. You know, he couldn't eat for 3 days. He couldn't even see for 3 days. Have you ever sinned and your sin overcome you to the point you're just sick at your stomach, you couldn't eat? Maybe you couldn't look yourself in the mirror. You couldn't look up. You're like David in Psalms chapter 40, verse 12. I'm not able to look up. Why? Because my iniquities are more than the hairs of my head. And here's this man, Saul of Tarsus, is carrying the weight of his sin. And it was Ananias that came. And Ananias, when he came, he brought the chariot of the gospel to him. And he called him, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared in the way that thou goest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that point right there, Saul of Tarsus understood that he is the chief of sinners. He said he was the chief of sinners. Have you ever felt in your heart that you'd like to argue with Saul of Tarsus, Paul, about being the chief of sinners? He said there in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Have you ever wanted to argue with him? Brothers and sisters, he was inspired to write it. He understood he was the chief of sinners, but he understood through the gospel that the Lord, that was already in his heart when he saw his riches and he saw his greatness in the chariot of the gospel, was able to take care of all of his sin. You know, the chariot of the gospel was such a blessing to me as a condemned sinner. I remember the first time that I heard the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the chariot of the gospel came. It was like all the burden of my sin was lifted off of me. And finally, for the first time, I could sing to him, "How great thou art." God was great in taking my sin upon him on the cross of Calvary. And it's the gospel that's brought him to me that I could view and see the riches of his greatness and his ability and able to pay for all of my sins. No, that gospel did not make me a child of God. I was not born again when I believed the gospel. But in believing the gospel, I have peace, I have comfort, I have joy in my life in viewing my Lord in that chariot more clearly. When Solomon would pass by on the roads, they would see that chariot, that beautiful chariot. Not only would they see him in his beauty and in his greatness and ability, they would also see him in his wisdom. You know, an architect that would build a building and people would observe it, they could see the wisdom in the architect's effort. You know, the Apostle Paul makes reference to the gospel, him preaching the gospel. If you notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, he said, "The Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." The gospel displays the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as that chariot would display Solomon's wisdom in that he made it for himself, the gospel displays the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, how we need the help of his wisdom in our everyday lives. You know why? Children of God can get themselves in some real messes. My son Joshua, I mentioned, he's about ready to get his driver's license. About 2 years ago, he and I were mowing grass. And I made a turn around the house, and I looked, and he was at the end of the yard. He was just shaking his head. And I thought, uh-oh, something happened. Poor little Joshua was wiping the sweat out of his eye, and he ran one of our lawnmowers into the well house and got it hung under the roof of the well house. Poor little fella, I went over there, and he said, I got a mess, Daddy. And I said, son, I said, it's a mess. And I said, you probably knocked out, you getting your driver's license about 2 years. I said, but I can get you out of this mess. So I pulled that lawnmower out of the mess, and Joshua was just so thankful that I knew how to get that lawnmower out of that mess. You know, dear children of God, we have a tendency to get ourselves in some real messes in this world. But aren't you very thankful that the gospel displays the Lord Jesus Christ and his wisdom to give us assurance, to give us comfort that no matter what kind of mess we can get ourselves into, he is able to help us in our times of need. Jeremiah chapter 32 teaches us we can't get in a mess too hard for the Lord. John chapter 8 teaches us we can't get in a mess too entangled for the Lord. He can get it untangled. Matthew chapter 15 teaches us we can't get in too big of a mess for the Lord. His help is sufficient. And when they saw that chariot of Solomon, they understood this man has wisdom. And when we hear the gospel, we see the Lord in the gospel, we understand his wisdom. And I would tell you, dear children of God, hearing the gospel preached every Sunday will comfort us, give us strength in our hearts that we can face the tribulations and troubles of this life, and also give us encouragement that no matter what kind of mess we get into or the world or the devil throws in our way, the Lord is able to handle it. Finally, when that little Shulamite saw that chariot of Solomon and saw his riches and understood that he loved her, that she loved him, she was assured if he has that type of means, he is able to provide me a home that I will always be happy in. When she saw the beauty of that chariot and the riches of Solomon and understood how much he loved her, She was assured, he is able to provide me a beautiful home that I'll always be happy in. You know, I'm thankful for my little home I got here in North Carolina. I call it my home, but it's really not mine. It belongs to the Lord. The Lord's just let me live in it for a little while. I love my wife and kids. I'm thankful for the home that I have in the church. I'm very thankful for the little place I got on the pew at Union Grove Primitive Baptist Church. I'm humbled just to be a member of the Lord's church. But you know, in this world, even though I've got this home and I have that home that encourages me and helps me, wow, this world sure does turn my stomach. This world that we're living in sure does trouble me. I don't think you can live in the year 2021 and not be troubled about the world. But you know, when I hear about the Lord and the gospel, and he is displayed, and I can see him in his greatness, I can see him in his wisdom, I can see him in his power, I'm assured that he is able and has provided me a home that I'll always be happy in, and that home is in heaven above. You know, when Jacob made his journey from Canaan down to the land of Goshen, do you remember it was Joseph in Genesis chapter 46 and verse 29 that went out to meet him in his chariot? And when Jacob saw Joseph in his riches in that chariot, I'm sure Jacob was assured this land of Goshen that Joseph will provide for me will be a place we'll always be happy in. And dear brothers and sisters, when we hear about the riches of the Lord, you know what will give you comfort about having something better in this world? Hearing about the Lord and the gospel. Hearing about the Lord and his riches. Hearing about the Lord and his ability. Hearing about the Lord and his love for you. And dear brothers and sisters, when you hear that, we are assured that he is able to provide for us something better than we have here in this world. I want something better. You know, all creation is groaning and travailing and pain together. What that means is every born-again child of God in them is groaning for something better. And because the Lord is rich, because the Lord is able, he has prepared for us, provided for us a mansion in heaven. And one day we will be there. And when we get there, we'll be satisfied forever and ever and ever and ever. I bet you when the Shulamite walked in that house that Solomon provided for her, I bet she was satisfied and happy with that house. I'm satisfied with the Lord's church as it is right now, but praise God, I'm looking for a greater satisfaction when I get to glory and I'm able to enjoy the great house that the Lord prepared for us from the foundation of the world, his sheep, his people. And until then, I want to be where the gospel is preached, that I may view my Lord more clearly, that I may know more about him, because therein I will have more assurance, more comfort, more joy, and more happiness, because I already know enough about the world already. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.